Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Yes, we praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, God, you're good. So good, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, it's good to be reminded that no matter what we are going through in life at any season, whether up in the mountains, whether we're on the fields, God, or in the valley, that you are with us. And sometimes obstacles can stand in our way, what seems like they surround us. But as we sung, God, it's not necessarily them that are surrounding us. It's the knowledge and faith that you are surrounding us. And that you are with us, God. And you are only allowing us to go through things sometimes, God, that you intend to do for our good and for your glory, God. So, God, we pray your blessing on every person here on the live stream today and in the building. And we ask, God, that whatever needs might be represented, of any type, God, that your spirit would be in the living room, in the office, in the bedroom, God, in the vehicle, in the building here. And that he'd be ministering his strength, God, in every way. So we bless you. We give you glory, God, and we give you honor. Because you deserve it, God. All the praise. We praise the name of Jesus. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, that was awesome. I just wanted to say, though, I don't know who's the culprit, but on that last song, the slides were showing snow, and I hope that was pollen and not snow that was falling. But anyway, that's just a little jab. Hey, if you don't have your communion emblems ready, I'm going to be taking communion with you in a few moments. If you could, go ahead and go to the kitchen or wherever you need to go to grab some emblems, that'd be awesome. As we take and remind ourselves of Jesus' sacrifice for each of us this morning. I also wanted to just let you know about Deb Disler, just a little bit of an update. Deb has actually got her call. She will be heading to Vancouver on Monday. And starting procedures and treatment on Tuesday. And so she's asking that we as a church family will continue to pray and intercede for her, that everything goes well during those treatments. She handles it well and goes through it smoothly. She also, and I'm just going to say her words, the fact that prayers for my system to handle the treatment well, the joy of the Lord will be all over me, and that I don't miss opportunities to share the good news of our wonderful Jesus. And I do so love and appreciate all of you that are standing in the gap for me. I'm so encouraged. So these songs, Deb, I believe were specifically ministering to you today. And your church family love you. And we're encouraged by your joy and by your faith as you go through this season of treatment for that removed brain tumor. God is good and so grateful for you. We've been going through Thessalonians in the last few weeks, and I'm going to take us back there one more time today. Leading ahead into the next segment of sermon series, we are going to be addressing or looking at the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, who He is, and His participation in our lives, and some of the benefits that come through our lives, and how the Holy Spirit is touching our lives to impact our world with the gospel and with the good news and to bring glory to Jesus through us. So that's what's ahead in the next little bit. But today, just want to sort of focus again on Thessalonians. Just a quick reminder, in Thessalonians, these two books are heavily centered on the death and resurrection of Christ, or as we call it, the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died for us and that He lives so that you and I can live. As God has conquered death, that we, with that faith and knowledge and understanding in us, can allow our spirits to live in freedom and victory and joy because of what He has done. Both books also are heavily themed by the second coming of Christ and events that will take place. And as we went through them, we understood that Christ is going to return. That is our hope. That is the foundation of why I get up in the morning, understanding that God is going to use my life and the knowledge that Jesus could return that day. But we live in the moment. We live in that awareness and be prepared for His return. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be always ready in our lives to know that when He comes, that we will be with Him for eternity. And we need to know the signs of times or things that will arise or what's going on in our world right now and what's ahead. And we need to understand that the Bible declares that after Jesus comes back, there will be judgment. And those that are in faith or in Christ, who have understood the death and resurrection of Jesus and have applied that in their life by faith, they can live for eternity with Jesus with incredible life. And yet the Bible instructs us that if we don't do that, if we don't acknowledge Christ, if we don't realize He died for us and He rose from the dead, that we too will face judgment, and yet we won't die. We will live for eternity, but the Bible says we will suffer for eternity because we don't realize what Christ has done for us. But the emphasis in Thessalonians is on living our Christian faith and being ready and being alive in our faith. And last week, Pastor Tiffany talked to us a bit about being steadfast. Given the circumstances that life can throw at us, the things that are going on, the things that we personally go through and our family might go through, no matter what, we have to be steadfast, we have to be immovable, we have to continue to walk out our faith and to honor God in our lives. You see, if we are being steadfast, and in the light of all of these themes that we look at in Thessalonians, we get to look to, in this life, the wonder of knowing God, and also the ability to have an abundant life or a joyful life as God gives us such direction and hope and just the ability to have purpose in our life right now, today, and in the days ahead. But we also get to look forward to eternity with God. You see, in Revelation 21, 1-7, it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, there's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no longer any death. There'll be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Can I get an amen for that one? "And He said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." You see, that's what we get. That's what we get to look forward to when Christ returns. We get to see that experience of having an intimate relationship with God, but in person, because God will be among us. We will see him, and we're going to inherit all of these things because God has called us his children. And so it's important that we submit and give our lives to Him in faith, recognizing that He's made a way for us to have eternal life through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We can stop there at verse 7 and be happy, but we have to not ignore verse 8 that comes immediately after this passage of Scripture. It says, "But for the cowardly," that means the fearful, "and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You see, it does matter that we all take a look at Jesus to see if Jesus indeed came to this earth, God's Son, and died on the cross for my sin and for your sin, and then He rose from the dead, conquering death. and giving us a way through faith in Him and what He has done and who He is. And that faith will cause us to live eternity in the verses of 1 to 7 and not in verse 8. But for those of us that will be fearful or unbelieving towards what God has done and we do nothing about it, it says we too will live eternally, but we will suffer in a lake of fire and brimstone. Dealing with Jesus in faith now matters. So why we are steadfast? Why we continue to fight the good fight of faith? You know, the why is, you know, we look forward to this hope and this purpose. You know, the two books of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, they begin and start with this. And I like to read the passages of both books, how they begin and how they end. Listen to these words. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." Here's the last verse of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 28. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 to 3. "To the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 18, that wraps up this book, it says this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." These are amazing words. These amazing words of grace and peace that Paul, in writing these, extends towards us. And it's a typical Christian greeting of the time, where they literally would bestow grace and peace upon each other in their greeting. And it wasn't just a shallow greeting when they met each other. It meant something. You see, it was the gospel in a nutshell. You see, grace gets us into relationship with God and faith, and peace keeps us there. Let me repeat that, because it's a famous quote from a famous pastor, Jared Kieber. Grace gets us in. Peace keeps us there. And that's the importance. When they greeted each other this way, whether in writing or in person, it had great depth in their Christian conduct and in their relationship with God. And they bestowed that experience of grace and peace upon each other. Paul uses it in the New Testament writing. John uses it. Jude uses it in his writing. Peter uses it. In fact, in 1 Peter, I love how he starts the one book or chapter. He goes, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." May grace and peace today be yours, and in this building, us, may the grace and peace of God be ours in the fullest measure, which really means to increase or be increasing. May God's grace and His peace continually grow and increase in each of our lives. I don't know about you, but a lot of times we can make fun of how we greet one another. It's usually fairly shallow in a sense. We'll say hi, or, you know, a lot of times in conversation, you know, we talk about the weather, things that, you know, are visually see. But there should be a deeper investment in each other when we greet one another and when we have relationship with one another, because grace and peace and the gospel are important to our lives, and we share that common growth and idea between us. You see, grace is a huge central theme for Paul in his writing. And simply put, it's described as God's unmerited favor. In other words, God has given us favor besides how we are. He doesn't do anything. We don't do anything to receive it. God just gives us grace and bestows upon us this grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." You see, when it comes to salvation and the faith we've received, it's not based on what we've done or who we are or the accomplishments or something that we positioned ourselves to get. It's simply that God so loved the world and God so loved you that he gave us his son to break the chasm between God and us. And Jesus became the one that brought peace with God and us. It's simply grace that's been given us even though we didn't deserve it. I wonder sometimes if we really, really, really understand just what God has done for us. We were eternally lost. We didn't deserve Christ. We didn't deserve his grace of dying on the cross. We didn't deserve any of it. We didn't deserve that he would take our place and take our punishment upon himself. We didn't deserve it, but it's grace, it's God's unmerited favor upon us that gives us the hope of salvation. When I was a child, and some of you know this and others won't, roughly around 10 years old, my sister knew that I had a huge temper problem. And she used to egg me on and used to really go after me and get me just beat red-faced, and I would chase her around the house and wherever else we were, and she would just always stay ahead of me, faster than me. One day, we were in the house, and Mom and Dad were gone, and a little bit of a backstory, my stepdad was a very, he wasn't a Christian at the time, and he was very angered himself. And our punishment often would be a leather belt with buckles, just all sorts of stuff going on. So it wasn't a good scene, and I literally feared him. And I'm running down the hallway after my sister, and I stop right by the kitchen, and I see this knife on the counter, and I grab the butcher knife, and in my anger, as she runs away, I throw it, and I hit her in the back. Her nightgown was bloodied, and she went into the living room, started to cry, and I went to my bedroom and got into bed and put the covers over my head, and I waited for the punishment that I knew I was going to get, that I would literally be beaten. The story goes, it's the only time my dad never punished me. He didn't know what to do with me. He was so shaken by it. But you know what? When I laid in that bed, and I feared, literally feared, the punishment that was coming, and it never came. That's the type of fear that we should have, knowing that Christ took our punishment upon himself. And that fear of punishment, knowing that Christ died on the cross for that punishment. He took that punishment off of me. He took the fear off of me as I released my life to him. Called humility. We humble ourselves for a God who loves us and gave us unmerited grace. His favor is upon us, and we don't have to be punished anymore because Christ took the punishment on himself. We've received this. And as we live our faith lives now, we understand that grace hasn't stopped. It's continuing working in our lives. You know, there's God's divine assistant in our life, changing us to become more like him. It's God's continual work in us that's causing us to overcome and fight our battles, knowing that God is fighting them. And some of the things we struggle with in life and some of the things we go through, knowing that God is with us and his grace is at work in our lives as he helps us and journeys our life with us. It's knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us. And Jesus, knowing that we couldn't do life without him, gave us his Spirit to walk with us and to extend grace to us in our everyday lives. We are daily living under God's grace, his kindness, his goodwill towards us. And then there's the peace that Paul talks about in the greeting here. You know, peace is not just the absence of conflict in our lives, because we all go through conflict. But it echoes the Old Testament concept of shalom, where a person's life with God and everything else in their life is ordered in harmony physically and spiritually, they literally all is well. It's not that the outside circumstances aren't there and the struggles we face, but it's the peace that comes inside us knowing that God is with us and walking life out with us. And he gives us that confidence to know that we can overcome because of him. Throughout Scripture, we find that peace is defined as a blessing from God and is in keeping with his character in extending his peace to us. Paul, of course, talking to the Thessalonian church due to some of their anxieties. One, which Pastor Tiffany again mentioned last week, is that they had this concept that people that physically that had died and been buried would not be ready, would not go when the second coming of Christ came because they were dead and gone already. But it doesn't apply to just the alive, it applied to the dead and the alive. We all will meet Christ on his return. There's not these anxieties that you and I face every day. You know, there's stuff in our lives, isn't there? If I'm going to be honest with you today and this morning, this last couple of months have been probably the hardest for me over the period of the last 14 or 15 months where we've gone through this COVID-19 season. I've been doing well, and I've got a lot going on, and my relationship with God is going through the washing machine, as it were, as God is just sort of tweaking my life for what life will look like ahead. But in the last couple of months, I've been mentally fatigued. I've been fighting myself and my weariness and my thoughts and using my brain too much over this last 14 months like I haven't before, I guess. But it's been a struggle. I called one of our ladies from the church this last week who's a counselor, and I asked her just how she would counsel mental fatigue. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I just wanted to give you a couple things about if you're facing anxiety and mental fatigue as well as I've been or some other things that are struggling with in your life. The first thing she said was, you know, have a meeting with yourself. You know, just like take a break, take a stop and just begin to talk to yourself and assess where you're at and why you're there and what you need to do to get out of that place. It's what I would call an inventory or a self-check. You know, we've got to just stop and get out of the flow of it and just take a good look in the mirror and say, okay, God, what is going on here? And the other thing that stuck out for me was that, and it's one of our values as a church, is that we connect with a couple of people that would breathe life into us. And I would call, and you're going to hear this a lot as we head into the fall this coming year, but that you would have a couple of people in your life, a triad or three of you, that can share life together, yeah, the joys and all the struggles, but also faith. And you would be able to pray for one another. So if you don't have those one or two people in your life already, it's important you do, that you can be encouraged and that they could breathe life into you. Because we all go through struggles. We all go through anxiousness and stress, and we need the peace of God. And sometimes the peace of God just comes and we stop and realize that he hasn't left us. And then it comes when we have people in our lives that are saying, like, wait a minute, let's take a step back here. Let's look at this. And this is what God says, and this is what I think God is speaking into your life. And let's pray that into your life right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, to have peace, we've got to learn to trust God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In other words, don't leave him out. You know, have a relationship with God in your anxiety. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. The Lord of peace. What a better person to get peace from than the Lord of peace. This last Thursday night, you may or may not have, most of you would have gotten an email inviting you to an online conversation Thursday nights for the next 6-7 weeks. And it's a 15-minute kind of study video thing. I share my screen with you. But then we have a conversation, and it's all about practical things you can do just to stop and pause in your life and to get peace and make sure that your life is not so hectic and running around that you forget about the peace of God in your life and the stillness. This last week, we just did a practical exercise for a minute where we just stopped and tried not to think about anything. And, you know, there's just these little things, and if you're somebody who's anxious by nature or personality or struggling right now, you know, just a good way to get together with us online and, you know, just 45 minutes Thursday night, just stop for 45 minutes. That's what we do, and then we carry on with our life. Just practical tools to help you in your walk and in your life. You know, Paul goes on in these passages at the beginning and end of the books, and he talks about a couple of things, and just very briefly, let me just say one thing or two things about it. One is that we should have thankfulness towards each other. He usually starts his book with thanksgiving as well, Paul, but except for, which is an interesting note, and you can study that later, but Galatians is the one book where he doesn't actually start with it, and there's a reason for that, and I'm going to leave you hanging so that you'll want to ask me. And he uses prayer as a vehicle of how to give thanks. You know, we talk to God, we give God thanks, but we also thank God for the people's lives that are in our lives, for the family of God, and we intercede with them for progress in their faith and for the kingdom of God to come alive in them. The other thing that Paul mentions is love for one another, and again, Pastor Tiffany mentioned that last week in a really good way. But the love of each one of us towards each other should be growing greater. We should be thankful for one another, praying for one another, increasing in love for one another, because we are in faith together. And we may not always see eye to eye. We may not always agree on theology or the practice of theology or things that are going on in our lives or in the life of the church or the world. We're not always going to see eye to eye, but the thing that makes us unique is that we're in God's family, and so we're united in mind because we're united with the gospel being the most important thing. And one of those things is that we would love each other. I hope you have your emblems with you. If you haven't yet, you still have time to go. We're going to be singing a song and inviting God to examine our hearts and lives. And, you know, it always says when you take communion, make sure you examine yourself. And if there's anything between you and God this morning or between you and somebody else, you know, just surrender that to God this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And then we'll take communion in a moment, but we're going to sing the song so that we can actually pause and examine ourselves and give God a moment here just to reflect on. You know, I want to declare to you this morning this blessing, that God's grace would be yours, that His peace would be flowing and flourishing in your life, that you would be a person who's increasing in faith, trust, and hope in God, that you would be a person who's growing in gratitude and thankful for God and for the people of God, that you would be a person of love, that you would love others, and that you would be a person of hope, and that you would put your eyes on the prize, which is the second coming of Jesus, when we get to see Him and be with Him for eternity. Christ in all, Christ celebrated by us all. So God, I thank you today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace. God, it's nothing we have done. It's nothing we've deserved. It's simply because you love us. And you bestowed this gift through your Son, who took our punishment for our sin upon himself. Thank you for your peace that's at work in our lives, that's increasing in us. Thank you, God, that you are one who has not left us or forsaken us, who's active and alive in our lives. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that walks alongside us and in us as we walk and journey this life. I thank you, God, that as we take these moments just now to reflect on our relationship with you and others as we take communion in a moment, that God, if there's anything you need to do in us this morning, right now, that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak in his still small voice to us. God, wherever our faith is today, whether it's flourishing or it's kind of stagnant, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to raise the bar and to grow. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17 says this, and I pray this blessing over us this morning. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Let's pause and allow the Spirit to speak. Praise your name, God. Praise your name. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you that your plans don't finish at our grave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, eat it. And as often as you do that, remember me. It's his broken body. All the suffering that Jesus did towards the cross and in the cross, he did it for us, for our punishment, our shame, our sin. And by his grace, let's be reminded today of that. And let's take the bread together. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He also took the cup and passed it around. Said it was a new covenant in my blood. You know, Jesus shed his blood that our sins might be clean and we could stand pure before holy God, his Father. And that's why we have the hope of eternal life, because Jesus paid it all. And remembering the grace of our forgiven sin and cleansed sin, let's take the cup together. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your broken body and your shed blood. And we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you worship today, God, for all that you've done, your unmerited favor upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I trust this day you will carry in your heart and in your mind the grace of God and the peace of God, and that you will honor him throughout this day, just continually offer praise to him. We're going to sing again before Pastor Tiffany comes. And let's just honor him in the song. And just for those of you that don't know my story and wonder what happened to my sister, she's my best friend. We just talked this morning, so she survived, thank God. And I thought maybe you might want to know that. But the Lord bless you. And let's just take a moment again to honor God in song.
I read a quote this week by Danielle Strickland, and it was talking about singing our praise and singing our worship. And she says, sometimes we sing because we believe, and sometimes we sing until we believe. And so I was just thinking about this line of like, there's nothing better than you, Jesus. And for some of us, that's very real and that's very true. And for other of us, we're going to just keep singing that all week until it's what we believe. And so, whew, man, turn up the praise music. He's worth it. He is worthy. And grace and peace to you this week. God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. We love you, church.